Life Church created this podcast because we all need healthy conversations with real people. So this podcast is here to help you start conversations with your life group, friends, and family. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to the You've Heard It Said podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Jason.
And today we're asking the question, what does it look like to be a good neighbor? Which initially makes me think of those State Farm commercials. So I don't know what that says about me as a person.
I think of Mr. Rogers right away. I used to watch his show in the morning. Sometimes I'd be in my dad's office and he had this little boxy TV and I'd watch the show in there.
Aww.
I also think of being a really little kid. And the idea of neighbor was these other boys who I would rule the neighborhood with. We lived on this big hill and I'd go running full speed down to their house. And then we'd just, whatever, catch bugs, wander the neighborhood. That is my initial thought of neighbor.
I'm not surprised that you described it as ruling the neighborhood. When I was a kid, I loved my neighborhood too. There was this really sweet older lady next door, and she would always make me chocolate pies, and I would hang out at her house for hours. And we also had some friends in the neighborhood that would come over to jump on the trampoline, which was really fun. So it was the best.
Right. So actually, when I got older, our family moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, and it seemed like either there weren't younger kids in the neighborhood, or they were inside playing what I started called No Friendo video games. So neighbors became this kind of thing that you would just see when they're mowing their yard or you're driving by. And I think a lot of people can identify with that. And so then as an adult, now that I've got kids and a house and we're in a neighborhood, we've really made an effort to know our neighbors. And it's cool to see our kids actually knowing their neighbors, kind of like we did. So this idea of what does it mean to be a good neighbor? It's actually a question that was asked of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have heard this story, but I kind of want us to think about it a little bit of a different way. So you can read it in Luke 10, 25 through 37. It's this story where Jesus is sitting with these wise teachers. They're the ones who know the law. And they're basically saying, okay, Jesus, how do I get into heaven? They're actually trying to trap him. And Jesus does what he normally does. And he's like, well, what are the two greatest commandments? And they know them. It's love the Lord God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is like, yeah, you got it. And do that, he says. And they're like, okay, well, Jesus, who's my neighbor? Still trying to trap him. And so Jesus answers with a story. And there's this Jewish man who's walking down the road. He gets beat up really bad. He gets left on the side of the road. He's probably left for dead. And the first person who walks by is a priest, so like a pastor today. And I don't know, maybe the guy is like on his way to do a wedding or going to a church or he's late. I don't know, but he doesn't just walk past the person. He goes to the other side of the road. He's like, I don't even want to get that on me, okay? Next person to walk by is somebody who helps in the church, a temple assistant, or, you know, maybe they just work for the church, a volunteer, I don't know. And same thing, they walk on the other side. They leave their Jewish brother dying on the road. Third person to walk by, Jesus makes a point to say it's a Samaritan. They are considered to be mixed race, and it's this kind of racial tension, right? So Jesus points out who it is who's walking by. And the Samaritan doesn't walk on the opposite side of the road. He crosses the road, goes to the person who's hurting, gives him some of his own things to help him heal right there in the moment, takes him to a place, pays his medical bill, and basically says, let me know what else this guy needs to get better. And so then Jesus is like to these wise guys, which one's the neighbor?
Yeah, I love that parable. It's actually one of my favorites. And after Jesus asks that, one of my favorite things in the translation that I read says, the one who showed him mercy.
Hmm.
And that one really challenges me because it makes me think about my life and whether I'm extending mercy and compassion to everyone, especially people that I disagree with. So not just the people where it's really easy to do that. And so Laura, one of our storytellers, actually went and talked with a few people who know what it means to neighbor well. So Alex and Alora are roommates, and then Christy lives one street over from them. And though their lives are all very different, they've become really good neighbors to each other. So we thought that you guys will really love their story.
Hey, Hi, guys. Alora, Alex, Christy, thanks for being with us today. Alex and Alora, you're longtime friends and you live in the same house. Mm-hmm. How did this friendship start?
It started when Alora was a student in high school of my mom. My mom mentioned that she had a daughter who loves to read, who is visually impaired, and Alora, the very next day, brought her a large print book, novel, and said, maybe your daughter might want to read this. And we started passing notes, and we've been friends ever since.
That's amazing. That's an amazing, I can't think of many other high schoolers who would be nice enough to take that step.
Right. You know, she's a gem.
So, Alora, what do you think it is about you that you thought, yeah, this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to bring this book.
I just knew that I had it, and I thought, I'm not using it. Maybe she can use it. I'm not looking at this book regularly. I'm not reading it. She can maybe use it.
Gotcha. So. And how did your friendship progress from that point on, once you got into college and then out of college?
We went to separate colleges, so it was a little tricky in that time. But, like, whenever we had a break, we would try and meet up. So we would go to the cheap movies and get sandwiches and things like that and just make afternoons of it.
That's super fun.
Yeah, it was really
fun. City bites and movies.
Yes.
Perfect combination.
Best!
Yes.
All right. And now you two live together. What's that like?
So we've been living together for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, we had this pie in the sky idea of maybe we could live together. And we were thinking at the time that we might look for apartments. But with the situations that we find ourselves in, I'm legally blind, so I don't drive, and Alora uses a wheelchair. We knew we had some special requirements, and my parents, actually, I was living with them at the time, and they own several rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, if you and Alora wanted to rent from us, we'd be willing to modify the house to make it accessible. And we said, that sounds like a sweet deal.
Yeah. So I was like, are you sure? Like, don't play. Like, that never happened. So
that worked out
so
well.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
That is such a blessing, I'm sure.
Yeah, it definitely was.
We love it.
That's amazing.
We call it the Hobbit Hole.
Perfect.
Because our aesthetic is cozy.
Cozy. I love it. So, Christy.
Yes.
You live in the same neighborhood.
Yes,
as
I do.
Alex and Alora. What kind of season of life were you in before you met them?
I was in my own season of cozy over on my side of the street. So we actually moved into that neighborhood 5 years ago. I have 5 little ones. So I had 2 kids right after moving into that house. So I was basically like changing diapers, taking some kids to elementary school and picking them up, and then going back to my house and putting kids down for naps and sometimes meeting other moms at parks. But yeah, mostly the focus was on my kids.
Right. And how did you feel about that?
I love it. That's my dream job. But, you know, we all have in our dream job moments where we're like, what is my life? Do I really want to be doing this? You know, I think I was probably at that point looking for ways to find Christy. Mm. Like, wait, I'm not just a mom. I love being a mom, but also feeling like I need something for me.
Yeah.
Just me.
For sure. So then how did the three of you actually meet?
So Christy and I had met at a couple of block parties. My parents are really pretty incredible in their hospitality. So they would start having grill outs in their front yard, and Christy and I met at a couple of those. So I feel like it was over the course of a couple years, honestly.
Yes, over the course of a couple years and a couple really tasty desserts that you would bring to those block parties.
That we would sit and talk in just the little lawn chairs. And I thought, she is so cool.
We really connected.
We did. I knew that you had a heart for the Lord, but I honestly had been searching for some close friends who really had a desire to, not just a desire to know the Lord, but to talk about that and just infused their life. And I could tell that from Christy. And we also just liked the same things, it seemed like, and just funny and enjoyed each other's company. But I thought, well, I think you had four kids at the time. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll see her when her kids grow up. Because I had no idea how that would work. But yeah, so I just felt the Lord putting it on my heart to reach out to some people in a season of my life. And Christy was one of those people.
Yeah, I was sitting on my sunroom couch watching the kids play, kind of in a halfway Sunday nap. And I remember you texted me with just an invitation like, hey, do you want to connect more intentionally, like meet for coffee or tea or text back and forth? And I honestly was like, I don't feel like I have mental space for that because I'm tired all the time and I'm grumpy. And how can I reach outside of my house if I'm tired at home and grumpy with my kids? But at church that morning, I had heard this challenge to take one step that required faith. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll just try this. This requires faith. And I told Alex, this is like a really great invitation into friendship. And I will tell you that I really only have enough space to be completely myself. I don't have space to like pretend or present myself in a certain way. You're going to get Christy, basically. Because I think I was in some friendships where I felt like, oh, you have to look a little bit more together or act a little bit more together in order for this to work.
Yeah, I don't think I was friends with any moms around my own age, like really good friends. So I think I said, do you want to do a YouVersion plan together?
Yeah.
And then I remember being like, oh, well, we're going to talk on the phone. And that lasted for 5 minutes. And you'd be like, I have a screaming baby. I cannot do this.
Yeah, I'd say my time's expired. Thanks. See ya.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah. I feel like most of our friendship was via text.
Yeah.
Which was perfect. And then I get a text from Christy. I think it was, must have been last summer, I think.
Yeah, like last June, maybe.
Yeah, she said, Mercy, her oldest, and I started reading Harry Potter. And I thought, oh, snap.
Enter Alora.
This just got awesome. Alora and I love Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And I had been thinking that Christy and Alora would get along really well, but I didn't want to force anything and I didn't really know how to introduce them to each other. But I thought, this is the thing. So I said, Christy, Alora and I want to hear all of you and Mercy's Harry Potter opinions. So please come over and have some tea and talk to us. And that's what kicked it off.
It's amazing. So for Alora, for you, what was the experience like entering into this friendship?
I mean, it was easy. It wasn't awkward. It wasn't strange. It was just very real. So that's been a reoccurring theme, I think. It's just, this is what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
That authenticity is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So how did your friendship, all three of you, how did it grow from here?
It took one very drastic step, one summer evening. So we had a couple conversations in the Hobbit Hole, their house, where Mercy and I would go over and look at a fun Harry Potter picture book that they had and talk about like spiritual themes in the book and just funny moments. And one night, Mercy and I were walking back in the dark, and we were just talking about how fun it would be to have a real owl between us, like in the Harry Potter book. And so, I don't know if you're familiar with Harry Potter or not, but there's owl mail, so the owls deliver the letters. So Mercy and I talked about that and laughed, and I just couldn't shake the thought. So one night, I decided, okay, I'm going to make this happen. I was feeling extra whimsical, I guess. And I knew that these two would be up for that, like an imaginative, fun way of sharing notes between us. So I went to the store and bought a stuffed owl and a notebook. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to hide it in their mailbox. And I had all these second guessing thoughts about it. As I walked home after I left the notebook and the owl in their mailbox, I thought, maybe they're going to think it's dumb. But that's not quite what happened.
Okay, so maybe you're listening and you're feeling kind of bad because you don't even know your neighbors' names and their pets drive you crazy and there's that one neighbor who's always trying to talk to you but only when it's raining outside or you're like late to something and so you're like, come on, man. So, okay, here is a totally made up, but I mean, it's probably accurate stat. So you're like 90% of all Americans, all right? So we worked with Pastor Craig to create a video series and a YouVersion Bible plan that will give you practical ideas for where to start. It's called How to Neighbor. It's always free. It's perfect for group conversations, and everything you need is in this episode's conversation guide. Okay, back to the story.
Well, Alex went to check the mail, and she reaches into this mailbox. It's one of those high mailboxes that are really deep, and she comes back in, and she goes, something died in our mailbox.
No.
I'm like, what? She's like, something's dead in our mailbox.
Right, yeah.
I stuck my hand in there, and there was something warm and furry. And I was like, oh, no. I don't know how a bird crawled into our mailbox and died, but that was just the story that I made up in my mind. And right. I was like, I can't handle this. So I call my dad and I lead with the bird story, of course. Dad, there's a dead bird in our mailbox. And I need you to come.
Because nobody uses owl mail in real life.
Oh my goodness. So we call my dad. He comes over and yeah, he pulls out like a Beanie Baby, basically. It was so embarrassing.
I felt so bad. I was like, in my mind, like, oh, see, it didn't work. Like, you scared your friends. And
no.
That was a bad idea.
After the initial shock of something fuzzy in your mailbox, it was pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah, if I'm honest, I think I felt that way a few times where I would feel like, oh, we are different. And have different lives. I have kids, so stuffed animals, I find them everywhere. But I always had this, like, a little bit of fear, like, oh, I don't want to offend Alex or Laura ever just by me being me and not being in their world or able to understand maybe through their perspectives. And so I think just overcoming that by continuing to let you receive me as a friend, mm-hmm. even if I was like awkward or didn't quite nail it with like putting a stuffed animal in your mailbox. It was a safe space for me to just be me mm-hmm. and get to know you guys.
I think I know Laura so well. And then I had known Christy so well. They're both tender-hearted. They're both great listeners. And I just sensed this similar spirit. And I honestly think that it was a whisper from the Holy Spirit that said, like, this is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And it's been an adventure and a delight to find ways to be in each other's lives more.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I find myself, like, running to their house, like, for a break or to tell them a fun story or running to the notebook to write something down. We still keep the notebook. We're on like the third one. That's a space for anything like worries, fears, cares, whatever. We pass watercolors between us. And those little moments are small, but so significant. Our friendship has brought so much light into my home. Not only are you coming into my life, but the life of my kids that brings so much light to the mood of our home.
could you tell us about the ramp?
Well, obviously, because I'm a wheelchair user, those are pretty important tools. And in the way I live my life, I am the one that is always providing that access because it's my wheelchair. Yeah. You know, it's not my house, but it is my wheelchair.
I've been able to go over to Christy's house whenever I wanted, mm-hmm. you know, and it's kind of a weird feeling when, you know, to say, oh, well, I can go over, but, you know, Alora will have to hang out in her driveway or something like that. Mm. You know, I mean, how weird.
So it was just thinking about how to open that up a little bit. And I was like, well, I have this ramp, but I can't necessarily move it easily. I mean, we have it, but I can't carry it.
And I was like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah. So I was like,
tell me what I have to do.
Tell me when you want me to come over. We'll get it. We'll go. It'll take a few extra minutes, but that's how I'm used to spending my time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a big deal for me. And then she was like, well, can you send me a link to where you got the one that we've been using? And I'm like, what? You want the link to buy a ramp? Like, nobody does that. So that was just really cool to be a part of and to share.
I remember when the ramp arrived and I just felt so much joy and freedom. I was just like, this, I felt like was such a picture of our friendship, like of us coming, the three of us, worlds colliding, just as we are. Like, mm-hmm. we're just making space for Alora to be Alora, for Alex to be Alex, for Christy to be Christy. And there's so much grace in that. Mm-hmm. And there's so much reward in that.
It's a big deal. Having a visual impairment, I mean, these days, honestly, with the city bus that I take to work and with Uber, I can get anywhere I need to go. But historically, that's been limited for me. I was telling Christy at lunch earlier today that being spontaneous hasn't really been an option for me. So if I get together with people, it's because we plan something. So anyway, I remember when Alora texted me at work and said, I'm in Christy's house. And I said, what? Are you serious? Like, I just, getting to be a part of that joy was incredible. What a gift mm-hmm. for us both to, you know, because then it didn't have, I've
absolutely.
Been able to.
It actually is really good for me and my kids because we have now thought like outside of our own little world, we've been out places and I'm noticing where there's no wheelchair accessibility. And I'm like, wait, so like I couldn't come here with Alora? Or we'd have to, oh, well, we could put her ramp there if we wanted. And so it's opened my eyes, and I so appreciate that. I remember this one really great moment I had with one of my sons who was building his own Lego contraption. And this time it wasn't a dragon, and it wasn't a speedboat. It was this bus that he made with a ramp on it. And he said, this is so that Alora could come on the bus.
Oh.
And I just felt like, okay, God, you just really, like our friendship has been a place for so much growth, so much love, so much perspective sharing to happen. And I just feel really thankful.
Do you three see ways that this friendship has changed you?
Well, I have a bulletin board in my bedroom that is covered in watercolors that Christy has painted me. And it's not just because she's a good artist. As I have discovered over these past few years, as I have discovered new parts of myself and grappled with who I am, she has seen the beauty in those things. In particular, I'm an extrovert, I'm a talker, and sometimes I worry about just going into situations with people who are less loud and just trampling all over everything, basically. And I said, I feel like an elephant in a flower garden or something. And she painted me this watercolor of an elephant with its trunk in the air and like confetti coming out of the trunk. And I mean, I look at that and that is God's reminder to me that when I think that I'm being loud or disruptive, that I'm actually maybe sharing something really beautiful.
That's so good, Alex. I feel like I have really allowed myself to be myself with you guys because you've allowed me to be myself with you. And also, one thing is Alex is always sending me like text messages with scriptures. So that bit of truth, of God's truth, just slips into my day. And then I'm thinking about it while I'm going about my day.
So I was going to ask, all three of you had to overcome certain barriers in order to enter into this friendship. And so do you think that that authenticity is part of the key to getting over the hump of that barrier?
Yeah. I think that the faith and the trust that we all have whenever we reach out with things, it is believing that what I have to give is enough and it might actually be valuable to that other person. And I think sometimes that doesn't always happen in friendships. Sometimes we want to reciprocate exactly what someone else gives us or things like that. And there's just no need for that.
Yes, that's so true. I feel really strongly about making sure you know and that I know that there's nothing to maintain. There's no facade to maintain or there's no should do rules when we're being real and sharing our hearts.
I don't think that there is an expectation that any one of us puts on any one of the other. Like I said, it's a come as you are, day by day thing. And so I think that takes away that need for upholding. Because we're all doing it equally between the three of us. So yeah.
So, how would you three define what it means to be a neighbor?
Previously, I probably would have thought meeting other people's needs. And so, there's an expectation for me to be the healthy one or the strong one or the giving one. And that would be within my comfort zone previously. So, I think one thing for me that I'm learning that's super helpful to help me to see myself and life and my neighbors and community in a different way is that I actually have need for my neighbor. And that takes more vulnerability than being the one to give to a neighbor.
We know that Jesus calls us to serve and to love others. Sometimes it can really feel like, oh, it's all about sacrifice and it's all about like giving everything that you have. But I think it just means sharing life with someone, like your good and your bad. I know that Christy and Alora are safe places for me to just text and say, man, I'm having a horrible day and I have a really bad attitude about it. And 9 times out of 10, they will text me and say, I'm so glad you said that. I hate everything today too.
Right.
And so, yeah, a neighbor is just a way to be with someone that is, I don't know, just special.
Mm-hmm. And it also like may feel imperfect sometimes, but it's so worth it to get into the lives of other people. And there, I think you do find friendship and you find surprises too. I think. Because it's not going to be the same story for everyone.
Yeah, I think if you like Harry Potter and you want to do owl mail with somebody, then awesome, go for it. But I think it can be more about like just believing that God has a friend, a neighbor friend for you. And if you look and you ask him, he'll tell you how to reach out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what would be a good first step someone could take if they wanted to take the step of being a neighbor?
I would just say be observant. If you can be, look around you. I mean, there's lots of opportunities that you can miss out on if you're not paying attention. So maybe slow down a little bit. And if you can fill a need, fill it. If you can come up alongside someone and be a friend, then do that. It doesn't have to be complicated.
And I just think that God is big enough to nudge us in whatever way he wants to. So he may put someone right on your doorstep, but he may also guide you or whisper someone's name to you. Or, I mean, that's not what I heard. It wasn't like I was at the bus stop one day and I heard, Christy.
My name whispered on the wind.
So not that. But I did just, I had her on my heart, on my mind, whatever. So listen, look and listen in both ways, I think, externally and internally.
I guess the word that comes to mind is just be willing. Be willing for friendship or being a neighbor to not look like you thought it might. Be willing for it to bring more joy into your life. Be willing to need other people. Be willing to be vulnerable. If you're willing, that's a good start, I think. If you think, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, I don't know anyone who lives around me, or I don't feel like I have that authentic space in any of my relationships right now, and I want that. If you just are willing, then I think it might be easier to look, to slow down and look around. Start with where you're at. Start with what you've got in front of you.
Okay, so as a Harry Potter fan, I just have to say that the fact that they used an owl to message one another is my favorite thing on the planet. That is next level neighboring.
Yeah, definitely a real hoot.
Okay.
But seriously, I don't think I'll ever think about neighboring the same. Okay, really though, here's what I like about this story. It debunks the idea that being a good neighbor is all about doing something for someone else all the time. Mm-hmm. So the way I see it, all three of them, they find a way to allow themselves to need something from each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then they don't have to like go volunteer somewhere to be like this super neighborhood advocate, although that's a great thing to do. But instead, they realize that they can start by just making life better for each other by taking the risk of getting to know each other and needing each other. Hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. Their story is just beautiful. And it just really inspires me to think about my neighbors as not just people to know, but people that I need. They're people that God has placed in my life for a purpose. And so I want to make sure that I'm bringing purpose to my interactions with them. So in fact, like my neighbors and I have been talking about getting dinner together for about 2 years now, but we've never actually done it. So I need to actually activate on that and have dinner with my neighbors. So I think that's the challenge this week, is talk about this question in your life group. How can I be a better neighbor to the people around me?
So for me personally, this is actually really hard. Walking up to a stranger or someone I don't know why, but it's just hard for me to do. But I can tell you from experience, it's worth it. Little tip, a great way to meet a neighbor is to ask them to borrow something, or to just be out in your driveway when they're mowing their yard, or to ride your bike or skateboard or whatever around the street, and then have a little bit of a longer driveway conversation. Just start it. Just start the relationship, start a conversation.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's episode of You've Heard It Said. Remember the rule we've got on the podcast. We don't want you to keep listening unless you're talking with others about what you're hearing and doing some of the things you've heard said. So to help you have a conversation with the people you care about, we've got you covered with questions, resources, and more in the conversation guide. It'll be in the show notes wherever you're listening. Also, if you like today's episode, please leave a rating and review. We know. Everybody asks for one. But it really does help more people find these conversations. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week.